ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and we are looking at a 10-game Wednesday. If you're playing the early slate, good luck. I think if I'm looking at the early slate, really where I'm at with it is I'm probably attacking the Padres. Let's do it, baby. Hey, listen, you gotta love the Padres against a guy who gives up contact in a situation where they won't attract a lot of ownership, but they have some bats right now, man. They have some bats right now. You gotta love it. Listen, lots of lessons to be learned from last night. Some very, very interesting lessons to be learned last night. So let's dive into that real quick before we go into anything else. So a couple things. One, we saw a night where leverage was king, right? There were home runs everywhere. There were home runs at Coors. There were home runs from Howie Kendrick, you know, one of the cheapest leadoff bats on the slate, which was a great play. I mean, listen, you get a $2,300 leadoff bat who traditionally owns the splits there and capable of hitting a home run. That's a cash play. You play that player in order to get access to a more high quality bat. You take the upside that comes with it. Does it completely and wholly lucky that he double donked? Yeah, it's completely and wholly fluky. It's absolute fluke. You had catchers hitting home runs. You had pitchers doing some doing really good stuff. You know, Salazar broke the slate, which was I was afraid of. Like I was very afraid of that. You know, the Red Sox did exactly what they were supposed to do. The Indians got to Bartolo. The Dodgers eventually delivered against the White Sox, but let's be clear, that wasn't until the eighth inning. They were pretty much worthless until that point. When every single offense is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, what everybody hopes it does, you have to have something unique. You have to have something unique. You're not going to win. And so, the lesson is that you have to attack a stack that is not going to be highly owned. I went to Baltimore, and I thought for sure after that John Scope leadoff home run, I was like, the doors are open. This Albers character is going to get blown up. And listen, Baltimore worked him. But they stranded 15 runners in that game. They had like 15 different runners left on base. The Rays stack went off. That was good. That was a little bit lower owned than some of the other pieces. But the best one was by far the Royals. The Royals instantly started to put up runs against Chris Smith and then ultimately got home runs from Hosmer and Moustakas. Merrifield and Kane both produced as well. Brandon Moss didn't go yard, but he didn't blank you. So there was a lot to like, but the bottom line is you have to be different. You're not going to be able to move up a leaderboard unless you have guys who are owned at below 8%. And so you have to force yourself into what may feel like a suboptimal play as far as what Vegas is telling you with only a 4.7 run total or from what you've heard from touts or whatever the case may be, right? I mean, you listen to this show, the first teams that I'm going to talk about today are super obvious. It's the freaking Rangers versus Sanchez and the Cubs versus Homer Bailey. Like, spoiler alert, those are chalk tonight. They're in great spots. Those two offenses are great, great, great spots. But you can't do just that, right? You have to find some kind of leverage somewhere, whether that be with your pitcher selection and taking a risk, which can work out, you know, a lower cost pitcher that is a little bit more volatile. That can work out. Freaking Luis Castillo torched the Cubbies last night, put up massive, massive numbers. The ownership on Danny Salazar was low because people were nervous. And Denelson Lamet was relatively high owned, but he did exactly what he was projected to do against that offense. So you have to be willing to either take a chance with the bats you know, with one with some of your bat selection, or you have to be willing to take a chance with your pitcher. And it's really the only way that you're going to get there as far as moving up the leaderboard. Now, that's preaching to the choir for people who've played DFS. Sorry. Just wanted to emphasize that. If you're new to the game, I just wanted to emphasize that. That's key. It's going to feel weird to be like, how many other people are going to be playing the Royals tonight? Or how many other people are going to be playing? You do it for a reason, right? You do it because no one else is doing it. Furthermore, a great article I retweeted from Fantasy Labs about the popularity of actually full stacking teams. No one is doing it. No one is doing it. As the season goes along, more players get involved. Stacking wins tournaments. Four-man stacks on FanDuel will win tournaments. Okay, three-man minimum, right? If you find out you can only afford a three-man, makes sense. I get it. You know, pricing can be restrictive. Today, pricing is restrictive. You're going to have to find some spots. But four-man stacks win tournaments, and five-man stacks on DK win tournaments. And there's proven data out there. You have to read this article. And the truth is that while individual players may be owned at a higher percentage, what they found in their research is that combination of players, like five players from a certain team or four players from a certain team, is intensely unique. People aren't doing it. It's very unique. It's low owned. It's like massively low. It's like below 1%. So the fact that people aren't playing, you know, four batters from the same offense indicates, you know, a level of like waffling that players get when they're not willing to commit themselves to an entire offense. But the reality is, as I said, if that's the offense that goes for 10 runs, that's the offense that wins the slate. You win the slate, right? If you had Royals and Red Sox last night, you could have won the slate. If you had Cleveland and the Royals last night, you could have won the slate, right? If you had Oakland last night, Oakland was filthy last night. Three home runs in the first three innings. If you had Olson, Joyce, and Chris Davis, I mean, that would have been a very logical stack right there. Three of the best home run hitters on that team, plus one, give me Semien or Lowry or something, you would have won the slate. So, you know, you have to commit to the four-man, three-man minimum if pricing's restrictive. So just something to take a look at. Again, I apologize, preaching to the choir. You already know this. But it's just as we get through the season, you know, I think we forget these things that are fundamentally proven about MLB DFS. All right, that's enough. Let's jump into the preview for tonight, and let's figure out what Vegas has to say. Okay, so like I said, 10 games. Main slate starts at 7 o'clock. Five games on the early slate. Like, you know, Padres, and give me the Padres and the... Well, give me Jimmy Cole. Give me the Padres and the Marlins. Oh, yeah. Matt Cain. Yeah, give me the Padres and the Marlins. Single entry. Love that. Okay, anyway, enough with that. Enough about the early slate. Late slate begins at Toronto. 8.5 runs in Toronto. Jacob Fari versus Marcus Stroman. Jays favored in this one. 4.5 runs here projected for the Jays. Josh Donaldson is fucking hot. He's hit a home run in a lot of his last couple games. He's just getting under-owned because he's too expensive. He's hot, right? Although it's interesting. Prices on these guys indicate that people are still playing them. They're getting Jacob Faria from the Rays. You know, Faria we know is good, but I think that he's had his struggles and he's shown them recently against good offenses. I don't know if he will struggle here, but I don't think I'm going to go there. But it's one of those, like, I'm not going to play Faria, but I don't know if I'm going to play the Blue Jays. You know what I mean? Stroman here, he's in a really good spot. Rays are projected for 3.9 runs. There's a lot to like about Stroman, especially at this price. And he's at home, he's favorite, all that good stuff. So we'll talk about him. Yankees Mets, 9 runs projected in the Bronx. Jaime Garcia versus Robert Gsellman. 9 runs. 4.5 of those belong to the Yankees. It is now a pick 'em. Wow, interesting. This line has moved. Yankees were favored a pretty decent margin. And, you know, that worries me a little bit. I think, you know, I've seen some voices say that the Mets are in a good spot here against Garcia. And that makes sense. Garcia has not been very good of late. But the truth of the matter is the Mets are really quite bad against left-handers right now. Like, I don't know if people quite understand how bad the Mets have been against lefties. And Garcia, well, this is interesting. Okay, so maybe this opened as a pick'em? Because I'm seeing on one site, and this was interesting, maybe it's different sports books. I'm seeing on Fantasy Labs, I'm seeing that the Yankees are now projected 5 runs to the Mets 4.1, but Roto Grinders shows it as 4.5 to 4.5 dead pick'em. What I'm seeing from Fantasy Labs makes more sense to me. Yankees favored here against Gsellman. No question in my mind, Gsellman is going to struggle in this situation. Gary Sanchez is in a great spot. I think Jaime Garcia is in a good spot, and I'll talk about it. It's a weird one, but it's going to let you fit every single bat that you want. Cardinals, Red Sox, 9.5 runs projected in Boston. Boston is a team that we play against contact pitchers who have strikeout difficulties. Lance Lynn, not that much against right-handers, really. He doesn't struggle that much with righties, but gosh, he has problems with left-handers. The Red Sox are favored. 5.1 runs here. Eduardo Rodriguez taking the hill for them. I think this is a place to attack Rodriguez. He has struggled in his last couple starts. He's given up runs, and Cards are way better against lefties than they are against righties. Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong, fire him up. Cincinnati, Chicago, 9 runs projected here. Two things about this game. First of all, John Lackey being a minus 200 favorite with his batted ball data almost makes zero sense. But the man has been able to get out of jams. I can't predict it. I can't figure it out. It's just veteran craftiness because his batted ball profile is not good. And in that sense, you want to go, you know, you want all the Joey Votto. That's about it, though. I mean, you guys know I love Zach Cozar, but I don't necessarily think I have to have him in this situation. You've got a little bit of rain in the forecast. It's kind of a cooler night in Chicago. Wind is blowing in, so you kind of, you know, nullify the nice ballpark effect by just crappy weather. But the Cubs are projected for 5.2 runs. They're in a really nice spot against Homer Bailey. They just got blanked by a guy who throws gas in Luis Castillo, and they proved that they're still capable of striking out. And against pitchers who are cooking, who will dominate the strike zone, they will swing. And I think, though, that this is not that spot. Homer Bailey allows a lot of contact, really elevated wOBA to righties, so we're going to attack the Cubs in this situation. How John Lackey is a minus 200 favorite at only 7.3K, just, I don't know. I'm already tilting that John Lackey might actually be in a good spot. I wish something would show me, don't play him. But I don't know. Tigers, Rangers, 11 runs projected in Texas. Joey Gallo is just the Texas version of Giancarlo Stanton. The man is unbelievable. He just keeps hitting home runs. He just keeps doing it. Let's go ahead back and let's see how many home runs over the last 10 days that he has hit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, so it's 6 in the last 10 days. Obviously, that's not quite Giancarlo levels. Fair enough. 6 in the last 10 days. You're not Giancarlo Stanton. Sorry, Joey Gallo. That was me embellishing. But the man is an animal. He's got a 100 exit velocity right now. Like, it's his average batted ball velocity is 100, and now he's good to go up against Anibal Sanchez. I mean, the Rangers at home, that's the only time you can play the Rangers is when they're at home, because they just keep producing. Every time I look up, I look at the score, you know, I check my MLB at bat app, you know, it's like the Rangers had three runs, now they have six. Ninth inning, they pile on three more runs. It's just like they just keep hitting. So Rangers stack firmly in play. And you got the Tigers versus a lefty and Cole Hamels, who has been good. You know, he has had two really good outings, Minnesota and Houston, really solid outings, you know, trending in the right direction, no doubt. And he just kind of, you know, similar to John Lackey, batter ball profile, meh. A lot of the strikeout stuff, not really there, but you got a crafty guy who knows how to pitch. You get guys who know how to take advantage of certain pitchers, what they're swinging at, how to use the ump to their advantage. You get all that together, and these pitchers can manage these games, and that's, you know, that's an advantage. Diamondbacks, Astros, 9 runs projected. Don't look now. Diamondbacks are back, or excuse me, Astros are back. Scored yesterday. People didn't see him on the main slate, but they did it on their all-day slate. They scored, I think they scored 9 runs. They started to make contact. They started to click. No home runs. They had a home run from their pitcher, I believe. No, they had a pinch hit home run from Brock Stacey. But they were making a lot of loud contact yesterday. Against Anthony Banda. Now, Anthony Banda is not Taijuan Walker. Taijuan Walker has been much better than Anthony Banda, but the Astros projected for 4.9 runs here for a reason. Walker, in his last start against the Cubs, he got thumped. He got thumped. And you know what? It's because when you allow hard contact and fly balls in Chase Field, you're going to have a problem. So I like the Astros tonight. Cleveland, Minnesota. This game would be a great spot for the Indians, but a terrible weather situation. I would love Carlos Carrasco here. Well, not love, but he certainly seemed to regain his control against the Rays, which was nice to see. Minnesota proved that against pitchers with good breaking stuff like Danny Salazar, that they're willing to swing and that they're not as hot as their recent trend. They're just good against bad pitchers, which says a lot about this team, I think. 5 runs for the Indians. So we got like 70% chance of rain, and it gets up to like 90% throughout. So it's a really bad situation. This game probably doesn't play. I'm not going to put a ton of analysis into it, but listen, if for some reason clouds clear, stack the Indians against Kyle Gibson. Atlanta, Colorado, Coors, 11 runs projected in Coors. A couple dingers out there last night. You know, Story and LeMahieu against the lefty at home is a great play. And Story, I believe, was the one who dingered last night. I believe that is correct. But they're pitching up against Mike Foltynewicz, who we know is a shutdown guy against righties. Not so much against lefties. The lefty stack certainly in play here. Charlie Blackman, though, at 5.2, he's been a little bit cold in this series. I don't know how much Charlie Blackman I want. Gerardo Parra, Cargo, they're definitely a little bit more interesting, but almost 4K for them versus what they were priced at the other day is a little frustrating. I kind of like the Braves side, and I'll talk about why later, versus John Gray. But the Rockies are favored here. Braves are pretty serious dogs, just based on the kind of how they've been a lackluster offense. White Sox, Dodgers, 7.5 runs projected in LA. And listen, Yu Darvish is a minus 300 favorite, but it's not because they think that the Dodgers bats are going to destroy Rodon. Okay. This line opened at like 5.5 runs, and sharp money hammered the team under for the Dodgers, and that line has moved back on them. Now, it hasn't moved towards the White Sox at all because they're not going to hit Darvish. Darvish is the best pitcher on the slate by far, but Carlos Rodon is good, and there is nothing stopping me from liking him tonight in a tournament lineup, okay, in order to be contrarian and have leverage on the field. Pitching a guy like Rodon in this situation is massively risky, and people probably won't do it, but I think it's interesting. So, Yeah, I mean, White Sox only projected for 2.5 runs against Darvish. I mean, what else do you want me to tell you about you, Darvish? Guess who my favorite pitcher is on the night? It's you. So, yeah, we definitely got to like him here in this situation. All right, that's it, guys. That is that's the preview for tonight. 10 games. Let's jump into the player breakdown. Who do you love? Well, like I said, no spoiler here. Highest priced lock stock chalk pitcher of the night. You Darvish, 10-4, White Sox at home. He's worth it. He's worth it. Give it to me. I'm worth it. I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. I'm not gonna, actually, never is a very strong word. I might do it again. He's worth the price, but you got to find some non-chalky bats to go with him, and you got to find some value, and value on this slate is not fun to find. Value on this slate, by the way, is going to be the Mets. Mets chalk night against Jaime Garcia. Not a fan. I don't like the Rays against Stroman. So Darvish is hard to fit in because there's really not any cheap offenses that you're in love with in this situation. So you're gonna have to make some moves, compromise a little bit in some of your spots, and wait for some value to open up. But Darvish, you know, one of the things that I've been looking into is just straight contact rate and its correlation to fantasy production. If you can't miss bats and you allow a ton of hits, ultimately you're more likely to allow runs, walks, you're struggling with strikeouts. It's going to, you know, that kind of thing, right? Obviously, contact rate, we've talked about hard contact a lot, but hard contact isn't the only type of contact, right? Just straight up contact is valuable in baseball. You know, the higher likelihood that you're going to get hits, higher likelihood that your possibility of hard hits too. So he's got one of the lowest slide contact rates on the slate. Darvish, he's just missing everything. Swinging strike rate is elevated at 12%, K rate at 27%. He's getting a massive number of right-handers here, and he only allows a 263 wOBA to right-handers. I mean, obviously, it's drool-worthy. He's had two starts with 10 Ks as a Dodger. I mean, I don't know if it's just he's energized by being on a massive a winning franchise, or they are, you know, the catching situation is better. That makes sense, right? John Luke Roy has been a disaster this year. You know, so I maybe it's just the pitching staff. Maybe it's just the fact that he has the confidence to hammer the strike zone and just go after batters. And that's what they're saying. Like, don't worry if you get hit and you need to come out in the fifth. We don't care. We want you to get five, you know, we want you to hammer the strike zone and get strikeouts. So he is getting them. XFIP below 3 in both of those starts. The walks are down. Clearly something is working with the Dodger blue for him. The White Sox can be scary. Obviously, we saw Tim Anderson with the leadoff homer against Alex Wood, and I quietly did a little fist pump because I faded Wood. Fade the chalk. You know he's going to be chalky. You know the strikeouts are down, and he did great. But guess who outperformed him? Dinelson Lamet for $3,000 cheaper. You know, it's a risk, but he was lower owned and he outperformed him. It worked. Allowed me bats. So I love Darvish here, though. I don't think there's any reason not to like him here. You know, he's got a massive, massive upside for a quality start win and multiple Ks. Okay. But you're going to need some non-chalk in there. And like I said, if people are playing Darvish, especially, you know, if you're playing cash games, people are going to play Darvish. And my guess is that they're going to play the Mets because the Mets are cheap and you're going to be able to get top of the order bats against Jaime Garcia, who isn't that good. He's not that good. But there's reasons that I actually like him for that exact reason, because people are going to play the Mets. And I don't know who else is a value offense unless there opens up to be some like min price guy who's, you know, in the top five of an offense, something like that. You know, this is interesting. I'm seeing Ketel Marte possibly batting leadoff. You know, Gregor Blanco might be batting leadoff against Charlie Morton. Someone like that could end up being the chalky 2K plug, like, you know, like Howie Kendrick was last night. You know, so you're going to have to find some way to differentiate yourself with an inexpensive offense, an inexpensive stack, an inexpensive three-man. Maybe take some risks on some batters lower in the order if you want to go to Darvish. I love Carrasco. I don't think that this game is going to go, and the weather concerns are pushing me away from it. But Carrasco seemed to find his control last game. He proved that once again he is an excellent pitcher. And, you know, it's a tale of two Carloses. But in this situation against Minnesota, I would love him, especially for that price, point per dollar. I think he could be one of the best point per dollar pitchers on the slate. You know, not just as much upside as Darvish. But I think he has more length than Darvish. I think he's more likely to go seven innings than Darvish is to go, you know. And Minnesota, the Minnesota lefties just don't scare me. Against a shitty righty, yes. But against a good righty, they're not going to do a lot of work. And Salazar proved that last night. But Carrasco, the weather's terrible. I don't think that game plays. So you're going to go down to Stroman. Stroman is going to be a popular pivot. No doubt. I think that people love the floor that he offers, the run prevention that he offers, the ground ball rate. It's all there. The evidence is there. The pricing is there. And on a slate where bats are expensive, Stroman is definitely going to attract 20% ownership. Guarantee it. Minimum 20% in probably 20%, you know, plus in GPPs. My guess would be in cash games, you're going to see him north of 30. You're going to see Darvish close to 40, 50%, maybe even 60. And then you're going to see Stroman right behind him at a very, very creeping up on 50% ownership. Because you have to, you kind of have to do that in order to get some of the bats out there tonight. There's not a lot, like I said, there's not a lot of bat value. Yeah, the Rays had a nice outing last night, but listen, Estrada has a fly ball problem. He's pitching above his pay grade. Stroman is exactly, you know, what you see is what you get. The metrics have been the same all year long. 20% strikeout rate, elite ground ball rate, one of the best in the league. And the Rays, they have a massive strikeout issue, okay? They still struck out last night. They will strike out pretty much every night. Ask Nick Tepish. He's been very solid in his last couple starts, you know, quality starts, averaging 5 Ks, you know, and once against Tampa Bay this year, he maxed out. He went for 10 strikeouts in a game in Tampa. Ground ball pitchers in general, as a trend, perform extremely well against this team. And Stroman in general has been elite against lefties with a 70% ground ball rate, only 29% hard contact. Now, one of the things about Stroman is, interestingly enough, he's had more runs scored against him, but there's been some fielding errors behind him, which is a little bit annoying. There's been some fielding errors behind him, which have allowed runs, but they're not earned. And specifically in his last home start, there were 4 runs scored, but not one run was given to him. So that home scorer seems to be giving Stro the benefit of the doubt, which they've done before. They did it to Sonny Gray that one time. It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know if anybody else notices that. 29% hard contact to lefties. That's elite. You know, he could easily cruise to a quality start in 5Ks here. He's got a very clear floor, I think, in this situation. Now, you say that safety, and of course, what happens? You know, it's going to get yanked right out from under you. But the only BVP here, you know, you got a divisional guy. The only BVP is Evan Longoria. Corey Dickerson has one home run off of him. But Evan Longoria is, you know, batting 300 off of him, which makes sense. He hits righties well. You know, you kind of know what you're going to get with Stroman. I think that divisional familiarity can be a thing. But the rest of the power guys don't really scare me, you know. So I think that there's a lot of strikeouts to be had in this lineup. I think Stroman is in a good spot, but I think he will attract ownership. Okay, so if you want the chalky, wonderful, awesome bats like the Rangers and the Cubs, and even Coors to that matter. If you want to go to Coors, I get it. Fine. Fulton Evich has batted ball issues. I think you're going to have to pay down, and I think you're going to have to take some chances. And if you're playing in tournaments, then we got to talk about two guys. We got to talk about two guys in the 7Ks that I like, that I think will have lower ownership. I think in the 7Ks, I actually think that people will go to John Lackey. Fine, a minus 200 favorite. The Reds are projected for 3.7 runs. That makes it all kind of look like, hey, this is a great spot. I don't like it. I don't like it. He's been getting lucky. He has had some, you know, fly ball issues, and he's gotten away with it in a couple games. And, you know, he's only gone 5 innings in 4 of his last 5 starts because basically, like, he's getting away with base runners. Like, he's getting away with hard hits, and Maddon can see, like, he can't go too deep into this game because they're starting to get to him. So I don't really love Lackey in this spot. That said, he is going to get run support. So I think you could go to him, but Lackey chalk makes me want to throw up. So YOLO Jimmy Votto. Jaime Garcia. Okay. This is fine. Somebody just threw up in their mouth. I don't blame you. Just don't turn off the podcast. Okay. Just listen. Jaime Garcia, in the last 2 weeks, the Mets have been the worst team in baseball against left-handed pitching. 32% strikeout rate with a 45 WRC plus. What about the 30-day split, Sean? 29% strikeout rate with a 78 WRC plus. What about on the year, Sean? 25% strikeout rate with a 94 WRC plus. There is no Neil Walker here. There is no Jay Bruce. Okay? Yes, you have Yoenis Cespedes. Yes, you have Michael Conforto. Michael Conforto strikes out at a 26% rate to left-handers. Okay? They are below average. They're clearly struggling with left-handers. Do I worry a little bit about new guy Dominic Smith? Yes. Do I worry about Ahmed Rosario, who clicked a little bit? Yeah. Okay. I do. I do worry about him. Do I worry a little bit about Wilmer Flores because he's a lefty basher? Yes. And Yoenis Cespedes can take anybody yard. However, Jaime Garcia has an 11% swinging strike rate against teams like this that strike out against left-handers. He has been excellent. He had 7 Ks in 7 innings in Oakland. He had 7 Ks in 7 innings against Arizona. 6 innings, excuse me. Quality starts in both. That was within the last 4 weeks. Okay? If teams are swinging at him, he's good. This team swings. We're seeing that in their strikeout rate. Okay? He struggled in those last 2 starts. You know, the last 2 starts as a Yankee, Cleveland and Boston, not good. Those guys don't swing. They get to everybody. If you have a low strikeout pitcher against a team that doesn't swing, you're going to limit your upside, okay? Obviously, Cleveland and Boston are going to get to a guy like Jaime Garcia. He is a average pitcher at best. However, he takes only a 27% fly ball rate. He's got over 55% ground balls to both lefties and righties. I don't love this guy. However, if you want leverage and you know people are going to play the Mets against him, and you say, fuck it, I'm going to play Garcia because we know the Yankees are going to hit Gesellman. Okay. We know they're going to hit Gesellman. How often, who, how much, I have no idea. Gary Sanchez is the only one I trust to hit a righty right now. Okay. He's the only one that I trust, to be completely. Him and Didi. Gary and Didi would be my 2 top Yankees. But I think that you take a chance on someone who's low owned. If you're with me, you're not throwing up at this point, or you haven't turned off the show, that's fine. The other guy that you man, screaming hot takes for me right now. Carlos Rodon versus the Dodgers. Don't turn off the show. Okay? This is a strong, strong pivot off of Lackey. I don't know how this man is doing this, but listen to this data. Okay? Let the data speak to you. Open up your hearts and your minds to Carlos Rodon. 4 starts. Cubs, Astros, Cleveland Indians, Boston Red Sox. What do those 4 teams have in common? They're all like favored to win the World Series. These are 4 of the best offenses in baseball. Now, 3 of them have strikeout rates below 20%. The Dodgers actually do strike out. We know this about them. They're not Houston. They're not Cleveland. They're not Boston. They don't have this, you know, 15% strikeout rate where they don't swing at anything. The Cubs strike out, and he had 11 Ks in four innings against the Cubs. 11. Are you kidding me? A 27% strikeout rate over those three games with a 375 BABIP. What does that tell you? That means that this guy's actually getting unlucky in these starts. The 375 BABIP is not normal. It should be normalized at an average of 300. That's what BABIP does. It normalizes at 300, and it tells you how hitters are hitting this pitcher, right? How successful they've been against this pitcher, how lucky they've been against this pitcher. It's a stat that should normalize at 300. 375 BABIP with a 27% K rate? Are you kidding me? It's insane. He has a Sierra of 2.8 and an XFIP of 2.5 with 33% hard contact. This isn't Alex Wood, you guys. This is Carlos Rodon. It's craziness. He's 7.7K with these kinds of numbers. This is like not the worst thing in the world that you can do. And if the sharps in Vegas, first thing this morning when they saw that line for the Dodgers above five was hammer the under, hammer the team under, and Vegas immediately had to move that back before 10 a.m., then you know something's up. Okay? That's something. Let's also remember this. Last night, even though you look at the box score and you say, well, Dodgers did great. They won. They beat up Miguel Gonzalez. No, they didn't. He allowed one run through six innings. He had five Ks on five hits. He had one sack fly. One sack fly allowed. Okay, and then they pulled him in the middle of the sixth. And then in the eighth, the Dodgers scored five runs off of a reliever. The White Sox bullpen is absolute shit. Okay? It's absolute shit. It's terrible. However, Rodon could get it done for six or seven innings right now. And I think that quality start is very much in play. The strikeouts are there. You're going to have leverage of people who are scared of him or people who are playing the Dodgers. If you believe that regression is coming, that's fine. But regression better have numbers behind it. And the numbers don't point to the fact that this guy is going to regress. They don't. They simply don't. They point to the fact that he is really, really good. Okay. All right. Coors. We got to talk about Coors. You know, the Rockies are implied for six runs, and the Coors has been kind of underwhelming, and I think people are comfortable fading it just because they don't really have a lot of confidence in this offense, and I don't think you should. I looked at WRC plus at home, especially versus righties, because I was trying to figure out how good the Rangers are at home versus righties. By the way, top four in MLB, just behind the Yankees and the Astros. They're elite against righties at home. The Rockies are dead last in WRC plus on the season at home against righties. And like, it kind of makes sense. Like I don't think they're that good of a baseball team, you know? And like a lot of the metrics point to the fact that these guys aren't nearly that good. Their contact rates, WRC plus, their ability to string together runs are just not that good. And I don't know. I tend to trust the numbers. Vegas likes the Rockies here. They like John Gray in this situation. Listen, Atlanta's not an exciting offense, but if you see on a slate, if you're seeing that Atlanta is getting 6.2 runs, or excuse me, you're seeing that the Rockies are getting 6.2 runs, they're overpriced against a pitcher who has shown he has stuff. He's also shown that he has massive fly ball problem and allows way too much hard contact. But that said, he is just a fastball guy. Like, he's just going to gun. He's just going to throw heat, and that's what Folty does, right? He's got a cannon. And, you know, that plays in Coors. Like, your fastball works in Coors Field. Now, does that mean that, you know, he's not going to get hit? No, they definitely could hit him. And, you know, Charlie Blackman and Nolan Arenado hit fastballs. So I don't know what you want me to say. But I think if you know that people are going to go to those guys, then I'm comfortable going to the Braves. And the reason I'm going to go to the Braves is that John Gray has allowed some of the most contact on the slate. Just zone his contact rate is 82%. Okay, that's well above average. You're allowing above average contact. Okay, this is, you know, he's in the Ty Black, Mike Leake neighborhood as far as contact, and it's 92% zone contact rate, which means as soon as you put the ball in the strike zone, people are hitting it. With only an 8% swinging strike rate, he's not missing bats. That in Coors Field just doesn't play, especially against a team that only has a 15% strikeout rate against right-handers in the last 15 days. It is the lowest rate in baseball. This team is better at not swinging than the Giants, than the Indians, the Red Sox. They are one of the most disciplined teams in baseball. Okay, they just don't swing at bad pitches. So he's going to have to put it in the zone. And when he's putting it in the zone, he has a possibility to get hit. 92% contact rate in the zone. I would go to them for leverage in a GPP. I would not go to them for cash. I would not go to them. If you have one lineup, they are not a must-have by any stretch of the imagination. However, Freddie Freeman has yet to hit a home run in Coors. He's got a righty here who allows massive contact. Yes, he's mostly a ground ball guy. No, he's not a fly ball guy. But come on, Freddie, 300-plus ISO against right-handers career. Freddie and Flowers. Tyler Flowers hits the fastball. John Gray, he throws heat. He throws like 94, 95 miles an hour. I think those two are my favorite. And if you want to get some cores, maybe you just do like a 2x2 core stack. You do Freeman and Flowers, and maybe you do Blackman and Parra, or you do Arenado and Parra, or something like that, right? You mix your cores bats, you get a mini game stack in there of sorts, and then you throw another game in there with a cheap pitcher for fun. It's kind of an interesting way to do it. Freddie Freeman is going to hit a home run in Coors at some point, you guys. It just doesn't make sense that Freddie Freeman doesn't hit a home run in Coors. It's going to happen. I think tonight's the night against John Gray. But he's expensive. But that said, like, he's just as expensive as Anthony Rizzo. I don't know. Anthony Rizzo's in a really good spot, though. So let's talk about these other spots that aren't cores, because there's some really good ones, okay? Listen, first one is the Rangers versus Anibal Sanchez. Eat this delicious chalk. You love chalk. School is in session. It's time to eat the chalk. We got to attack the full four-man stack here, right? Don't be skimpy on your Astro, or don't be skimpy on your Rangers. Get in there. Sanchez struggling with bats, struggling with everybody. He struggled, you know, what was his last start? I think it was against the Twins. It was Twins, you know, the Twins blow up Anibal Sanchez night, which is, you know, give me a break. When the Twins blow you up, you know you got a problem with contact and a hard contact, right? Now you're going into a hitter's park in 91-degree Texas weather. This team has been one of the best teams in baseball at home against right-handed pitching. Let's go through the numbers. It's only Houston, the Dodgers, and the Yankees above them. 357 WOBA, 213 ISO, the 116 WRC+. Now, WRC+ adjusts for park factor, but that indicates that they are well above average at home. That is the most elite three offenses above them, okay? Houston, LA, and the Yankees this year. Those are three of the hardest hitting offenses in baseball. And right there with them is the somewhat mediocre on the whole Rangers at home. They're very good in Arlington. All right, so we have to go to them here against Sanchez. Shitty fastball. Gallo and Beltre are elite plays. They're the two best fastball hitters on the team. Obviously, I don't have to tell you that Joey Gallo and Adrian Beltre are the two biggest home run threats on this team. Love them both, obviously. Sin Soo Choo is a leadoff bat at 3,400, is very, very affordable and a very good situation in this stack. No problem with him. Elvis Andrus is going to be batting second, but at 3,600, that feels a little bit steep. But you know what? We know that Anibal Sanchez struggles with right-handers. He gives up a lot of contact to right-handers, and Andrus is going to see a ton of plate appearances. I think a couple of the guys, Nomar Mazara is expensive at 3,800. I may go away from him, but he is in a good position here. He hits a lot of these pitches. He profiles pretty well, but he may be a little bit lower owned because of that price, right? If you only have $3,800 and you're deciding between Nomar Mazara and Adrian Beltre, you know, people are probably going to gravitate towards Beltre, but all it takes is the home run to go. All it takes is for one of those home runs to go to Mazara, and all of a sudden, you know, it's, he's one of the better players on the board at a lower ownership than Beltre. I guarantee he's going to be lower owned than Beltre. The one guy I'm hoping makes the lineup is Carlos Gomez. He's pretty cheap, and he profiles well against the sinker and the breaking stuff. The other guy is Rougned Odor. You know, he's totally boom or bust, but he's $3,000 at second base. I think he's probably going to attract a lot of ownership tonight in this situation because of his price. So the mix and the match of the, like, 1 through 8 for me is very much in play. I'm not touching these catchers. Don't give me... You know, fine. Chirios, maybe, you know, I guess if he's in there, but I don't need Mike Napoli. Not that interested unless for some reason, you know, he gets up in the four hole. But like Joey Gallo has been batting fifth, which just is amazing. Adrian Beltre, Joey Gallo at 4-5. Ugh, good luck, Sanchez. The Cubbies, please don't rain. It's drizzling. It's supposed to be drizzly throughout. So. That's okay. Homer Bailey against this Cubs team just got blanked last night. I mean, the fact that they got blanked last night is kind of doesn't make any sense, but they are going to come out swinging, and I think they're going to be, you know, keenly aware of their ability to take advantage of this series here. You know, take the win in this series against the Reds at home. Chris Bryant is in an elite position tonight. 4,400. He's more expensive than Beltre, yes. He's cheaper than Arenado, but he has to be Chris Bryant has to be one of the best hitters on this slate in this situation. Bailey has struggled. Massive home runs per nine to massive 400 wOBA to right-handers. he didn't get blown up in the way we were hoping in that last Milwaukee start, you know, which and the batted ball profile for Bailey is very interesting. Like, He doesn't allow hard contact. Like, it's like a 30% hard contact rate. But he, you know, he's not good. He's, you know, even ground ball fly ball guy more, excuse me, not even ground ball fly ball guy. But, you know, a big home run to fly ball ratio. Sierra 5.5, XBIP of 5.3, you know, and it's just, he's walking too many guys. He's not striking anyone out. You know, you're going to throw bad pitches in the zone. You gotta love the Cubs in this situation. So I'm all in on the Cubs. I think it's a really, really good spot for them. Chris Bryant in particular, John Jay is a really good price point. I think he will be popular tonight at 2.8K. He's one of the better salary relief options. People will play him in cash games. I guarantee you're going to see him in cash games pretty highly owned. Leadoff batter, cheap, bad pitcher. It all adds up. It's an easy decision. So, you know, I don't mind John Jay, obviously, here. Rizzo, great spot. I think with a lot of what's going on at first base, you might see Rizzo under-owned. And, you know, he does hit lefties better than righties this year, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to hit Bailey in this situation. Alex Avila, elite spot here for him. You know, we know he's a righty masher. He's been, he's capable of hitting righties ridiculously hard as a lefty. So he is a great catcher on the night. And I think Kyle Schwarber will attract a lot of people's attention, even though he's just a human strikeout. Why wouldn't you? You know, you've got a guy who's probably going to bat clean up here in an offense that's probably going to score 6-plus runs. Could score 6-plus runs. I think that Schwarber, you know, should be owned because he does have the ability to send one out. Even though if he's like a real life fantasy a real life baseball liability because of his strikeout problems, he's not a fantasy liability. You know, I think he could easily send one here. All right, couple middle of the road stacks here, grout stacks. Red Sox, Lance Lynn struggles with lefties. Okay, you got four lefties in this lineup: Benintendi, Devers, Moreland, and Bradley. Now, Moreland and Bradley have been batting 7 and 9, which is bleh. Benintendi and Devers have been batting 3 and 5. But imagine how unique that stack is: 3, 5, 7, 9. No one plays that stack. Lance Lynn has a xFIP above 6 to left-handers this year. He cannot strike them out. Jackie Bradley has one plate appearance against Lance Lynn as a pinch hitter, and he hit a home run off of him. Doesn't mean it's going to happen again, let's be very clear. But if there is something to attack Lance Lynn with, it is lefties, okay? You know, on the year, 30% hard contact rate, not massive problems, you know, but only an 8.9% swinging strike rate. Nothing that is really, really intimidating here. You take him into, you know, a situation in a hitter's park. He's allowed 13 home runs on the year to lefties. They have a 342 wOBA to him. And like I said, he has a 13% walk rate against left-handers, 2 home runs per 9. XFIP of 6.1 to lefties. So he's just clearly not striking them out here. And he is fly ball, ground ball, even to lefties in this situation. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't play the righties. Like, you know, we could definitely play Nunez and Betts in this situation. If you just want to go with two lefties, two righties, then you go, you know, Nunez, Benintendi, Betts, Devers. And I think that that makes a lot of good sense. Like, I have no problem with that. But yeah, I mean, and away from, oh man, away from Bush, he has a really elevated hard contact rate. I'm looking at these splits here. 36% hard contact rate away from Bush Stadium with a 20% home run fly ball ratio. 20% home run to fly ball ratio, 21% away to lefties. That is by far his worst batted ball split. Away to lefties right there. 2 home runs per 9 to lefties on the road. So he has certainly struggled, away from Busch Stadium, which makes sense. You know, Busch Stadium is a pretty neutral park, and you go to a really favorable park, here for hitters in Fenway. So I think the Red Sox are in play. They're not my favorite thing, but I think that they are in play here. And because they also garner a lot of ownership. People love the Red Sox. If the Indians game plays, you got to play the Indians against Kyle Gibson, but I'll be quick about this. It's 1 through 6. It's not hard. Gibson doesn't strike out a soul. But this game probably isn't going to play. The thing I'm going to say to this is don't chase Carlos Santana. 2 home runs for Santana is great. Probably not going to happen again, but he is cheap. I don't mind it. Jose Ramirez is still the best batter on this team against right-handers. He's still my favorite batter against right-handers, even though he went 0-for-5 last night. Gibson allows 38% hard contact to right-handers, so it's E5, Jose Ramirez all day. Again, Frankie Lindor always appeals to people. Frankie Lindor hits lefties. He really doesn't hit righties that hard. I don't play Frankie Lindor against lefties, or against righties. You can play Kipnis too, by the way, obviously. He's cheap. And he hit a home run last night. He's not going to do it again. He hits one like every, you know, 3 months. I'm kidding. I don't know how often he hits them. He doesn't hit that many home runs. But hey, old man Kipnis, got to get in there. God, when will Bradley Zimmer be in the top of the order again? He's 2,200. If Bradley Zimmer, this game isn't even going to play. What am I talking about? I'm dreaming. All right, two spots that probably will go lower owned than they should. I don't know if this one will. The Astros versus Taiwan Walker. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but they woke up yesterday. The contact is there, and now's the time to jump. George Springer at 3,800. Are you kidding me? Marwin Gonzalez and Yuli Gurriel at 3,3 and 3,5. Obviously, Altuve is still massively priced, but Josh Reddick is only 3,2. So you can get a four-man with Springer in it as the most expensive bat, and then everybody else is below 3,500. That makes me really excited because you guys know how I feel about the Astros. Listen, Taiwan Walker, 34% hard contact rate on the season, 4.3 xFIP. In the second half this year, he hasn't been that bad. You know, he really hasn't. But you know, you get this ballpark against a team that can really smash righties. I just, you know, and he walks lefties, so that puts Josh Reddick in play. I mean, 35% hard contact to lefties, 33% hard contact to righties. He, you know, not ground ball, fly ball. You know, he's getting more ground balls than he is fly balls. But he just got smashed by the Cubs for a reason. And I think that he's a good pitcher, but he's not a perfect pitcher. Okay. He's not a perfect pitcher. He's certainly susceptible. And, you know, I think that the Astros could definitely get to him here. And my hope is that with expensive stacks, like even the Yankees, I think people are going to play the Yankees. I just don't know how to stack the Yankees right now. So they're kind of in a fade mode for me. I don't really love stacking them because they just haven't had that game where they go, you know, put up 8 runs and really string it together. I don't know. But I think with, you know, with Texas being chalky, with the Cubs in a good spot, I think that people will probably stay away from the Astros, except for maybe individual players. And that's why the Astros stack will be unique. Not to mention the Dodgers have a high total against a guy that people are going to say, like, he can't be this good. He's this good. Those numbers don't, I mean, there's obviously those numbers over a 4-star sample aren't perfect, but those numbers are pretty fucking amazing. Cardinals versus a lefty. They didn't do what I wanted him to do against last night against Porcello. Porcello seems to be figuring out what doesn't work, which is good for him. Good for you, Ricky. This whole Red Sox team, so annoying. They're all like, you know, rallying together. Sorry. I know I have Red Sox fans, listeners. You have to listen to me rail against the Red Sox. Just so annoying, like when they're all like so happy, right? A happy Red Sox fan is... Hey, everybody hates a happy Yankees fan. But at least we know they're assholes. A happy Red Sox fan, it sometimes makes me want to strangle people. And then, you know, you get Tommy Brady back in Patriots camp. What could go wrong? Nothing bad in Boston. Not a thing. Not a thing. Rays won't make the wild card. And who fucking knows what happens with the Bucks this year. Anyway, the Cardinals versus E-Rod. That's enough about... Sorry. The Cardinals versus E-Rod is very interesting to me, okay? And here's why. They just kind of slumped last night. But listen, on the season, St. Louis is dead, just above average against... slightly above average against left-handed pitchers. 12th in the league in WRC+. But... in the last 30 days, when they've gone on this little hot streak, they're top 5 against lefties. 129 WRC+, 372 WOBA with a 250 ISO. You want to talk about home run upside. There is so much home run upside on this team against lefties, and we've seen it. You know, they can hit, and Eduardo Rodriguez has batted ball issues, you guys. He hasn't looked right since he came back from the DL, okay? He hasn't. He just hasn't been very good. And, you know, on the season, 31% hard contact rate with a 26% strikeout rate. But let's look at the second half here, okay? Let's look at the second half since he's come back. Strikeout rate is still there, but the xFIP is elevated 4.6. The walks are up to 11%. All right. And now we're talking about 34% hard contact to lefties, 31% hard contact to righties. And in August, this hard contact is gone to 38%. And his fly ball rate in August has been 54%. The fly balls alone are reason to attack this guy in Fenway. You're talking about a guy who's a fly ball pitcher in one of the smallest ballparks here. You know, did he Did he have a nice outing against the Yankees? Yes. Is it possible that he's saying, okay, wait, I figured it out. There's a problem. There was a problem here. Yeah, there's a good possibility there. Okay, there's a good possibility that he figured it out. But I'm willing to bet on a low owned Cardinals stack to send a couple home runs against him. 50. I mean, the fly balls alone are a reason to attack this guy. So for me, it would be, Carpenter. If you get those reverse splits, obviously you got to love Matt Carpenter. Pham and Zhang and Fowler. You just go 1-4 right there. Unless Jose Martinez for some reason is up in the order. I think it's 1-4. Pham and Zhang have the two highest ISOs against lefties on this team. And those two, you know, we've seen them go yard. So I think that they are certainly interesting to me in this situation. And, these guys have been slate winners. These guys have been slate winners. They are slate winners when they go and they blow up. Like they did in that Kansas City series a couple times against lefties, they go blow up and they get, 10 runs. You get a couple, they're Cardinals that have been slate winners. So I think the Cardinals GPP are GPP viable. All right, let's go over to FanDuel. Let's put it all together. Let's make a lineup. All right, so here is my chalkity chalk bats with a non-chalk pitcher. And I love this lineup, and I'm going to save it. Four-man Texas, four-man Cubs. Okay? Gallo, Odor, Andrus, Sinsu Chu. Love it. Great. Beautiful. Right? No Beltre, but I did get Gallo. Okay, and I got some guys with upside and 1-2 bat there. So those four. Then Bryant, John Jay, Kyle Schwarber, Alex Avila, four-man Cubs stack. Guess who my pitcher is, guys? Carlos Rodon. Yep, that's where you pivot, right? Nobody going to play it well. I think some people will be smart enough to play Rodon in this situation. He's just the numbers are too good. Now, if I wanted to pitch Stroman, for example, I can do that. Okay, there's a lineup here where I can do Stroman. Now, it's not perfect, but it does work. And it's a three-man, and I did this earlier, three-man Texas stack. And it's Gallo, Odor, and Gallo, Odor, and Chu. Okay, Gallo, Odor, Chu. And then I attacked the Astros, which is, that's nice. Marwin, Reddick, and guess who? George Springer. George Springer. Let's go, baby. Then I punted catcher, and I went down to, who did I go down to? I went down to, oh, by the way, Max Stacy. That's who hit the home run last night. Interesting. Oh, because they have their catchers on the Max Stacy, the catcher for the Astros. That's who hit the home run yesterday. Anyway, if he plays, he's a min price catcher in a good ballpark. So there you go. Lock him in. Who did I punt catcher with? I forget. But I went up to I went up to Devers. Devers at third base, because that was kind of as high as I could get. You could go to Bregman. I think you could definitely go to Bregman if you wanted to get a four-man Dodgers. But Bregman, remember, has been – or four-man Astros. Bregman has been better against lefties than he has against righties, and he's kind of been down in the order. So let's put Bregman in there, and you have $2,200 at catcher with Stroman at the top. So it's a three-man – and does that give me Cheerios? Where's Cheerios? Robinson Cheerios. $2,500. Damn. Drew Robinson. Oh, no. He's a second baseman. So we need a $2,200 catcher. Fine. I'll find one. John Hicks. There it is. Boom. Against the lefty. Batting in the middle of the order. Love him. He was highly owned the other night. He totally blew people off. Juan Centeno, too, by the way. He's $2,100. So I will be getting my catcher from the Astros or the Tigers, unless it's Alex Avila. So Stroman, John Hicks, Joey Gallo, Rougned Odor, Sin Soo Chu, three man Texas, four man Astros, Bregman, Gonzalez, Reddick, Springer, okay, against Walker. So, you know, the Astros blow up, then that's really pretty wonderful. Now, it's also very possible to plug in, you know, something a little less chalky. I think that if you want to go up to Darvish, let's try Darvish with. The problem with Darvish is this. You're going to have to find value. And I think that you're going to end up not really being able to stack in a way that you want. Now, if you wanted the obvious choice is the Mets, okay? That's what people are going to do. And the Mets stack works fine. But let's try Darvish with this weird Red Sox stack that I was talking about. Okay, so Darvish, I'm going to put John Hicks in there just as a, you know, almost mid-price catcher to give me a little bit of salary relief. So it's Devers, Moreland, okay? Moreland. Benintendi may not be in the lineup. He's got a knee. I didn't see that. Removed. He got hit by pitch. So he may not play. Which, gosh, imagine if Jackie Bradley Jr. gets up in this order, baby. Jackie Bradley Jr. gets up in this order, guys. You got to play him. Jackie Bradley Jr., let's say he's going to play. Let's say Benintendi's fine. Four-man Astros. So then I have second base, shortstop, outfield to deal with. And I think, well, no, let's do this, actually. Let's say Benintendi doesn't play. Let's go Nunez and the three lefties. Moreland, Devers, Bradley. Okay. Then I have $3,300 left per position, and I have shortstop and two outfielders to do. So for me, $3,300 per, I'm probably going to go to Marwin and Reddick and then find another guy to plug in there as well. You know, I think that works well. $3,300 shortstop is a little. You could maybe go to the Yankees. Shortstop's a little thin. Shortstop's a little thin today. Marwin, I like Marwin a lot in this spot. Yeah, I like Marwin. All right, that's it, guys. That's it. So, you know, Darvish with a little bit of cheaper stack, you need that. Stroman, you can fit some power. You go all the way down to Rodon, you can fit all the power. So, fun slate. It's going to be a fun one. There's going to be somebody who goes for 12 runs. There's going to be a stack that wins the slate. I hope it's one of the ones that we talked about. Who knows? It could be the Tigers against Cole Hamels, but he's been good lately. So that's it for me. Good luck in your contests. Hey, retweet, review, hit us with your results. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Take care, guys.